Y ante una orden de matar que dé un hombre, debe de prevalecer la ley de Dios que dice no matar.
On March 24, 1980, El Salvador's most illustrious spokesperson for peace and economic justice, Archbishop Oscar Romero, was gunned down at his altar in San Salvador. On March 24, 2002, George W. Bush and Colin Powell will travel to El Salvador on Romero Day to announce plans for a NAFTA-style free trade agreement for Central America, CAFTA. If it passes, CAFTA will lower wages, bust unions, increase unemployment, devastate environments, and increase military repression. CAFTA dishonors the Archbishop's legacy. Now is the time to say, no mas, no more.
Join the committee in solidarity with the people of El Salvador, WBAR's Amy Goodman, the Reverend Lucius Walker, and numerous community organizations and musicians as we commit ourselves to defeating NAFTA and to commemorate the true legacy of Oscar Romero. Sunday, March 24th, from 5 till 9 p.m. at St. Mary's Episcopal Church, 521 West 126th Street in Manhattan. For more information, please call 212-760-0333. That's 212-760-0333.
And it's just after 8 o'clock, time once again for Off the Hook. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Manuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so, talking about the latest developments in the hacker community, high technology, that kind of thing. And we're joined with the usual cast here. Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Artichek.
Hi.
How are you? And Jim.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Well, if you're not in a cheerful mood, this is not
I'm
the place
in a cheerful
to be. You
mood.
Have to be in a cheerful mood. None of this ass stuff.
I'm in a cheerful mood.
All right.
I don't know why.
Because God knows listeners are miserable. We have to make them happy. There's all this bad news going on out there. And, you know, this might be the highlight for some people, this 1 hour of refuge.
Oh, I thought I was representing the miserable people out there, but I guess not. Okay, I'll try to.
We'll let the callers do that.
Oh, okay.
Because they have tales of woe to give us.
We can have happy callers, too.
We can try to have happy callers, but they never seem to get through because they don't dial as fast as the miserable callers.
We do have one happy caller who always gets through, but...
Nothing travels faster than bad news. Remember?
So you have some good news for us now?
I have some good news. Okay. It's going to take me a while to say it, probably, but some good news, yes, a small bit. And that's that Freedom Downtime is showing once again at the... I'm not quite sure how this works. It's called the New York Film and Video Festival, New York Independent Film and Video. I believe that's the full title of it. I'm not sure. It's www.nyfilmvideo.com, and they have a show in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, I don't quite know how that works, but it will be showing on Monday, April 8th at 4 p.m., and best thing is, it's totally free. Yeah, totally free. So I guess our ticket sales were such a success last time that they're going to give it away for nothing this time. Although we did practically fill up the theater, so I'm saying that in sarcasm. But you can get more information as to just where... who's waving? People are waving at me. How you doing? I see silhouettes waving. We can't see you. You're just shadows in there. Yeah. Anyway, nyfilmvideo.com/Las Vegas. We'll have all the information on Las Vegas. But if you just go to the main page there, they'll give you information about all kinds of things. So that's Monday, April 8th at 4 p.m. It's a good time to see a film, don't you think? Yeah.
Not really.
Freedom downtime. Well,
but
maybe
for
not
this film,
you,
it's worth
but
it.
But if you were in Las Vegas and you had nothing else to do, you know, maybe that would be something to do. I don't know. I thought it would be fun. All right, we have, you see this? This is the funny story that's been making the rounds today about this guy who, an alleged hacker that's getting the judge really angry with his defense. Have you heard this one? Okay, he's an accused eBay hacker. I'm not quite sure what that means, but that's what he's defined as. An accused eBay hacker. His name is Jerome Heckenkamp, and he's back behind bars in San Jose. After his first solo court appearance in front of his trial judge, which took an odd turn. During what was to be a routine proceeding to set future court dates, Heckenkamp challenged the indictment against him on the grounds that it spells his name, Jerome T. Heckenkamp, in all capital letters. Oh. While he... you've heard this one.
I've heard...
So you want me to stop?
Okay. No.
Maybe the people out there haven't heard it. In all capital letters, while he spells it with the first letter capitalized and subsequent letters in lowercase. Last week, the 22-year-old Heckenkamp fired attorney Jennifer Granick, which I think is a very foolish thing to do. Jennifer is an amazing attorney. She's on film, in fact. And co-counsel Marjorie Allard, in order to personally defend himself against two federal grand jury indictments, charging that he cracked computers at eBay, Lycos, Exodus Communications, and other companies in 1999. It was the second time he fired his lawyers. In January, he had a federal magistrate appoint him as his own counsel, only to change his mind the same day. At Monday's appearance, Judge James Ware, more than an appropriate name for a judge trying someone on charges of hacking or computer trespass or something. James Ware seemed, W-A-R-E, seemed initially perplexed by Heckenkamp's challenge and spent some time explaining the nature of the proceedings. Finally, he advised Heckenkamp to take it up in front of a jury when he goes to trial. I cannot help but comment that you have substituted out a capable attorney, the judge added. That's what I would have said. Heckenkamp went on to demand that he be immediately allowed to take the stand and testify, and was again rebuffed by Ware, who noted that the appearance was not a hearing or a trial. The computer whiz then asked the court to identify the plaintiff in the case. Ware explained that the United States was the plaintiff and was represented by Assistant U.S. Attorney Ross Nadell. Heckenkamp said he wanted to subpoena Nadell's client to appear in court. And Ware asked him who exactly he wanted to bring into the courtroom. When Heckenkamp replied, the United States of America, Ware ordered him taken into custody. It's a good way to fight these battles, and a funny way to fight these battles, and I guess this is the funny way. The comments that you were making to the court lead me to suspect that either you are playing games with the court or you're experiencing a serious lack of judgment, said Ware. The judge added that he was no longer satisfied that Heckenkamp would make his future court appearances. He had been free on $50,000 bail and living under electronic monitoring. Before two deputy U.S. marshals hauled Heckenkamp away, he threatened legal action against the judge. I will hold you personally liable, he said. I will seek damages for every hour that I'm in custody. And the next next scheduled shenanigans are April 23rd in a related case in San Diego. So that should be all kinds of fireworks there. But
what did he allegedly do? Or?
Well, you see, that's the thing. They never get around to telling you that. They say he hacked eBay. Well, I don't know what that means. And he hacked, you know, a couple of other, maybe a web page or something. Big deal, you know. It's literally a federal case now. You can see, some people just aren't meant to be in court, you know, and they shouldn't be in court in the first place. It's a computer whiz. You know, you can apply that kind of logic to making computer programs and have all kinds of interesting things come out of that. I don't know. We have this coming from New York One, which you might have heard about. New red light cameras. Except they're not really red light cameras. They're dummy red light cameras. Yeah, the next time you think you've been caught running a red light, you may be wrong. The City Department of Transportation is asking for bids to get 200 fake traffic light cameras. They have to get bids to get the fake ones. I mean, you know, you can imagine how much the real ones are if they have to send out for bids for the fake ones. Now, there are 50 real cameras. They automatically take a snapshot of the license plate numbers of light runners, and they're already set up around the city. The fake ones will look the same and theoretically still make drivers more cautious about running a light, but cost considerably less. I wonder if the fake ones are going to flash when somebody goes through them. I mean, how could they? If they could do that, they'd be a camera, right? They'd be able to take the pictures. So what's the expensive part of this? The expensive part of this must be the flash mechanism, must be the camera mechanism. So they're going to have a box there with a little thing on it, and, you know, it's going to look like it's a camera, but obviously it's not going to be a camera. So won't it be obvious that it's fake? Anyway, the DLT would like to see the dummy cameras installed by next year. The department is also asking the state legislature to allow 25 more real cameras. A request for 50 real cameras was denied last year, in part due to privacy concerns. Now, I don't get that. It's privacy concerns apply to 50 cameras, but not 25? You know, that's not a privacy invasion, but 50 is. I don't get that. It seems like, you know, if you're going to say one is a privacy concern, you should say they're all privacy concerns. New York City was the first in the country to install red light cameras, and they have resulted in more than a million traffic violation summonses. Yeah, I don't know how many actually wound up being proven, because you don't know who's driving the car. You know, there's no way to prove that. But, I don't know, I guess we could just print a list of all the fake cameras, of where they are. You know, that'd be kind of defeat their purpose. Probably be illegal, too, to do that. No comments? You're all in stunned silence here? All right.
Yes, I'm stunned.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning news. All right, well, then you might be stunned by this news. There have been rumors of this, and apparently there's been some confirmation. GSM is coming to AT&T. If you do a little exploring on their web pages, which I did, you'll see that there's a section called Three Steps to 3G. The explosion of wireless phone use over the last decade has taught us that people don't want to be tied to their home or desk to make phone calls, blah, blah, blah. And they go into this whole spiel about the new technology and how they're going to be adding an entirely new platform to their network. Much like we upgraded our analog network to TDMA Digital, the new platform will operate alongside our current TDMA/CDPD network. The customer will have the option to continue enjoying our robust TDMA networks or migrating to our high-speed wireless data and voice service that is compatible with many wireless systems around the world. This new overlay, this new overlay that America is finally getting into after about 20 years overseas, it's called GSM. Global System for Mobile Communications.
So are they going to be competing with, like, other GSM companies
I
now?
I believe so. I mean, that's what it seems like. It's also called /GPRS, General Packet Radio Service. It seems like they will be competing with VoiceStream and PacBell and all the other GSM, the handful of GSM providers that we have throughout our entire nation. And it's really good because that's what GSM allows you to do, pick a phone company on your phone. AT&T Wireless offers GSM/GPRS service in the following markets: Seattle, Portland, Oregon. Oh, they really didn't do this well. Seattle, Portland, Oregon, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Detroit, Flint, Ann Arbor, and Lansing, all of Michigan, Toledo and Orlando, Tampa, St. Petersburg, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami. And Chicago, Indianapolis, and Kansas City are up next. I don't say anything about New York. In keeping with our phased approach, we will continue to launch more markets across the country and will deploy the GSM/GPRS platform in markets representing 40% of our served population by year end. I wonder why New York isn't in there. They might be going to those places that don't have a strong GSM market already. And I hope they don't sign the same agreement that all the GSM providers signed in years past, where they basically agreed not to compete with each other. So that should be interesting. AT&T GSM service. We'll keep an eye out for that and see if there's actually a possibility for competition in this country. It would be a really nice thing to have. I mean, overseas, when you turn on the phone, you have four different companies you can choose from immediately, and more if you have a dual-band phone. Speaking of AT&T, and this is something that has been the cause of a lot of confusion. Everybody's asking about this AT&T Unlimited plan. You see ads for it every place. The new AT&T Unlimited plan gives you unlimited state-to-state, in-state, and local toll calls, direct dialed from home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, costs $19.95 a month. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, that sounds like a great idea. So why wouldn't I want to take something like that? Well, there's a little catch, little tiny catch, and that is that you have to call other AT&T residential long-distance subscribers. Yeah, if you call someone who doesn't subscribe to AT&T, you don't get the unlimited plan. You get 7 cents a minute. It's weird. I don't know how you're supposed to know that the people you're calling are AT&T subscribers. I guess now this is what happens. It becomes a topic of conversation so that all the people you talk to, you talk to them about AT&T. You say, well, do you have AT&T? Because if you don't have AT&T, I don't think I can talk to you anymore. And, you know, if I mean anything to you, you will switch to AT&T so that I can continue talking to you and you can talk to me. And then, you know, and the whole conversation is about AT&T, you know, and they love this.
Are you on AT&T?
Do you see? And then people on the bus start talking about it. And then, you know, before you know it, it's on the Internet.
Guerrilla marketing.
So, I guess that's what it is. And then you have to also wonder how many people actually spend $19.95 a month on long distance. Some people just, you know, walk away from a phone line. They go someplace, but it still racks up a bill for calls you don't make. You know, so that's something that you might want to consider as well. So the conditions are this: you must be subscribed to AT&T local toll service for your local toll calls to qualify for the unlimited calls. I think there's an option where you don't have to be part of that, but in that case, you still have to pay $19.95, I believe. Calls, and this is a real crazy thing here. Calls to many AT&T broadband telephony customers are not included in the unlimited calls and will be rated at 7 cents a minute. And the offer is not compatible with any other offer. No call detail will be provided for unlimited calls, so you won't get a list of the people you talk to if it's unlimited. So that's a great way to not have to argue about anything. I don't know. I guess you have to decide if $19.95 is you know, an acceptable figure for you. But also, I'm told that there are many places that this is not available. So what you might want to do is give AT&T a call and ask them. Actually, we can try that. But you know how this is going to work. Hmm. You know what's going to happen. Hmm. You're just going to wind up talking to some robot and
hello.
Not oh, it's a person in that line. Well, that's no good. Why is there a person in that line?
Maybe it was a robot.
Okay, let's try this again. Okay. I don't know why a person was over there. Okay. People don't call in because it just adds to confusion, you know? This. All right, now we're calling AT&T.
The right choice.
I'll bet we won't get anywhere.
AT&T. Thank you for calling AT&T Consumer Services.
Yeah, you're welcome.
If you would prefer to continue in English, press 1.
Si prefiere continuar en español,
whatever.
This call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance. To sign up for a calling plan or for service information, press 1.
That's the one.
Please hold while I connect your call.
Oh, that's the way to get there fast. Two touchdowns, wonder what they were.
Welcome to the AT&T Information Line, providing easy, automated access to information on AT&T's most popular products and services.
Uh-oh.
If you're calling from your home phone number, press 1. If not, press 2.
Well, I'm not at home, so I guess I'll press 2.
For faster service, please enter your home area code and telephone number.
But I'm not calling about my... Oh, for God's sake. What should I enter here?
The call-in number.
0. I want an operator. I want to talk to a human being about this.
For faster service, please enter your home area code and
telephone
number.
Okay, you see, we're just going to have this standoff here. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to... I'll say things, but I'm not going to hit any more buttons. That's it. It's
I'm
over.
Happy with slower service.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, if you want to talk to me...
Please hold while I connect your call.
That's what you have to do. You have to be stubborn. Touchdowns again.
.com/clickonline. This may be the last time you call about your AT&T account.
Oh, yes.
Sign up
more
by
true
going
than
to www.att.com/clickonline. That's CLICKON.
Why are we giving them free advertising?
This is
very festive music.
It is, isn't
it? I kind of like it.
Thank you for calling AT&T. I apologize. We have to wait.
Yes, hi.
How may I help you?
I'm just curious if the unlimited long distance is available in New York.
Okay, I'd be more than happy to verify that. Is it that new calling plan that you're questioning?
Yeah, that new calling plan. If you could just tell me what that's all about.
Sure, I'd be more than happy to confirm it. Basically, the plan is $19.95 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It provides the unlimited calling to your friends and family who also have AT&T as a provider.
But what if they're not my friends? If I call somebody that...
does not have AT&T, it gives you a flat rate of 7 cents a minute, whether it's applied within your state or outside your state.
Well, I meant somebody who wasn't my friend but who had AT&T. What about them? Do they have to be my friends or my family?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
So they can be complete strangers as long as they have AT&T.
Absolutely.
All right. And the whole thing is included in 1995.
That's correct.
How do you know if somebody's AT&T or not?
Basically, a lot of times you will not know until your first billing comes out. And basically, it'll come, show you the breakdown.
Uh-huh.
It'll show, it'll list the number of the person you call, and it'll show included, meaning that the person does have AT&T. If it shows that it's being billed to you at 7 cents a minute, then that person does not have the calling plan or
have
the service.
Okay.
Like businesses would be one.
Now, is this available throughout the United States?
Yes, it is.
So any place I am, because I have different locations, I'm just wondering if wherever I go, I'll be able to get this service.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And this is only available for residences, not businesses?
No, it's only available for residents.
Okay.
Are you wanting to set up that service today?
Well, first I have to get my phone installed, so I just wanted to see if it was even worthwhile. But this makes it sound like
you currently have the phone number already established?
No, I haven't made the phone call yet. That's going to be the next call. All right?
Okay, that's awesome.
Thanks for the info.
Well, no problem. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's how you get rid of people. You just say you don't have a phone. Well, any questions?
She was surprisingly upfront.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does she have to hide? You know, there was, as far as I know, there's no hidden things here. But, it's kind of bizarre that you can only call people that are AT&T customers. I mean, why does that make a difference to them? You know?
It's exactly what you said. It's that, that whole, guerrilla marketing thing or whatever. He said that. Yeah, he said that.
Yeah. I said that.
Yes, Jim said that.
All right. Well, now that we know who said it, let's move on to the next phone company on our list, which is Sprint. Yeah, Sprint. Sprint PCS, actually. And there's some talk as to whether Sprint PCS is actually the same as Sprint. I think they are.
Is this the same company. You're going to call my voicemail?
No. Actually, no, I should call your voicemail. Let me do that right now because you got a pretty good message from Sprint. Now, this is what happens when you don't pay your Sprint bill.
I am not a crook.
No, you're not. You're not. But you don't pay your Sprint bill on time lots of times. All right, we're going to end. You've given me your password.
Right.
I have to enter special code there. All right. And then I have to enter.
You have reached the Sprint PCS
okay.
board.
And now hit this. All right. And it's going to say.
Please enter your passcode.
Okay. And I'm going to enter your passcode. And this should be a message from Sprint. Crystal clear quality.
Two new messages.
No.
23 saved messages. First new message. Received yesterday at 6:16 p.m.
This should be it.
1336,
yeah.
Or by pressing *2 on your Sprint PCS handset. We are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your convenience. Anyone who answers may assist you. Again, that number is 1-800-808-1336 or *2 on your Sprint PCS handset. Thank you for choosing Sprint PCS.
It sounds like she's talking through the wrong end of the
erase.
Phone.
Press 7.
Let's see if we can call them back.
Press 9. Sorry, the voicemail callback feature is not available right now.
Oh, well.
The callback number is 800-808-1336.
Wow.
Erase. Press 7.
So they call you from an 800 number and it shows up on your phone. That's kind of cool. But, I mean, what's with the bad quality audio? I mean, the phone company should sound good at least.
They send that, whenever you don't pay your bill. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's some kind of, method for them, for you not to pay them so they'll be able to charge you more.
Uh-huh.
If you can't understand what they're saying, then, you won't have to pay them, right?
That's true. All right, now let's call the other Sprint number that I was... about to call. This is something that Mike found. Do you want to tell us what this is, Mike?
This is a telephone number that you can dial. It's a well substitute said. For dialing star 2, which connects you to customer service from the phone, but your phone doesn't work and you want...
This is a voice-activated system that yeah. Sprint offers to...
I hesitate to call it customer service, though, because
well, no.
you don't get much service.
But it's got a name. It's got a name. Let's see what happens.
Welcome to Sprint PCS. For English, press 1. Para español, pulse 2.
Okay, we'll press 1.
Did you know you can get instant access to your account information, frequently asked questions, and make changes to your account by accessing our website at www.sprintpcs.com? To use our automated system,
people without,
please remain on the line.
Without
enter
internet
your
PCS access.
PCS telephone number, including area code.
Can I enter any number here?
I don't know. I haven't tried.
Oh, I enter my... The number of the radio station.
The number you entered is 212209290. If this is correct, press 1.
Please hold while we connect your call.
Okay, let's see what happens. Not supposed to do this, is it? Should have picked up by now, right?
Hi, this is Claire, your virtual service representative. I'm here to help you with your customer service needs. Please speak naturally and feel free to interrupt me at any time. You can say things like, I have a question about my bills. I need to make a payment. Or, how many minutes have I used? So, what can I help you with?
How many minutes have I used? Claire? Claire? I'm talking normally, Claire. How many minutes have I used?
First, I need to find out who you are so I can access your account.
Help. I think Claire's a bit slow tonight. It took her 4 rings to pick up and... I'm sorry, I interrupted. What? Claire, hello?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm trying to identify you so that we can access your account. You can say your response or enter it on your keypad.
Why? I'm going to break her.
Okay, but first, to help us better serve you, I'd like to know which area you have a question about. Just say the one that best describes your need.
Okay.
Billing and payments. Technical difficulties. Plans and services. Minutes used. Features. Activate service or disconnect service.
I think I'd like information on plans and services.
Billing information.
No. That's not what I said. I said plans and services. What's wrong with you? Claire?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Well, that's because you're not listening. Plans and services. I can't spell it out any clearer than that.
I'm trying to identify you so that we can access your account.
I thought we were past that. Look, I want information on plans and services.
I'm sorry, but I still didn't understand. I can't verify your information successfully. Let me get someone to help you.
It's not necessary.
We appreciate your business.
Yeah, I know.
Please stay on the line for the next available Sprint PCS specialist.
Please, just let me go. Goodbye. You can say goodbye to them, and they'll say goodbye. All right, well, that's...
All of our specialists are currently assisting other customers. Please hold, and your call will be answered.
No, all of your specialists are currently being automated.
To ensure the highest level of quality service, your call...
There. I just did something to ensure the highest level of quality. Okay, so that's Sprint PCS, Claire. Where we can you can hear by dialing, was it star 2 on your Sprint phone? Or dialing 1-888-211-4727. How did you find that number?
It's on the website somewhere, but hiding.
I really like those websites where they hide the numbers. You know, they. I had a nightmare with Amazon. Oh boy, it's not over yet either. But just try calling those people. Their phone numbers are nowhere to be found. Basically, what happened was I ordered something, and then I wanted to make it come quicker because it hadn't yet been dispatched. I wanted to change it to FedEx from U.S. Postal Service, and they said there was no record of me ordering this. And I was like, of course there's a record. You even sent me a confirmation with an order number. There's no way you can enter that order number if they say that there's no record of you having an order. So then the order goes out, and I get the thing in the mail. But I get it too late because I needed it FedExed, so I'm trying to return it. And they won't let me return it because I didn't order it. There's no record of me ordering it. They say I don't have any record of ordering this thing, so I couldn't return it. So finally I sent them an email, and I actually got a human response saying that they detected multiple sign-ins with my email address and that I needed to merge them together. And that they would do this if I gave them permission to do this. So I gave them permission, and they said, well, you have to tell us an order that you placed on each one of these accounts. And I said, am I supposed to know the difference between the accounts if they all have the same email address and all have the same password? And I still don't understand how they got this multiple account thing, because I've only used one. So I said, look, here's the last five digits of all the possible cards I could use, and this is some email that I got from you guys saying that I ordered something in the past. And they sent an email back saying that they couldn't verify I was who I was, and they couldn't help me. So that's when I got mad, and I sent them another email, and then they sent me an email back with their phone number on it, which I haven't called them yet, but but I intend to do that and have a nice little conversation with them about their system and how it works and doesn't work. We got a lot of mail about the BBC World theme. And about BBC World in general. For those of you who don't know, BBC World is that all-news station that the rest of the world gets that we don't, that comes out of England. And we were playing the BBC World theme, which has become very popular. A lot of people wanted us to cut them MP3s and send them pirated copies, but we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to tell you how to get your own CD. Just go to bbcworld.com and follow the link that takes you to the BBC World theme. More importantly, though, you should call your cable company and call your satellite provider and demand. Don't ask politely. Those days are over. Demand that they start covering world events, and you can see the news from a different perspective. BBC World is the name of the channel. And I get it through Canadian satellite, but nobody in this country can get it through through commercial means that I know of. I don't think there's a single cable company that carries it. It's not BBC America, though. Four times a day, I think, BBC America shows you BBC World. And you see BBC World on Channel 21 and a couple of other PBS stations. But it's good to be able to turn on your TV set anytime and see what's going on. We had an experiment last week with the new Verizon rate structure that that involved AutoJack here. Let's sum this up. We sent you outside.
In the cold.
Well, right. Isn't that bad? It's a lot colder tonight.
I think it's colder tonight.
It's colder, yeah. But we sent you out to make a phone call from the payphone to us to determine if, in fact, the unlimited time period was in effect. If you recall, Verizon last week doubled its rates. So that actually they started the transitional period. Some phones are 25 cents, some phones are 50 cents right now. They say that when they cut over to 50 cents, they're going to make it up to us by making the local calls unlimited in length, so you could stay on there until the next century or whatever, and they're not going to cut you off. So what we sent you out to do last week was to go to a phone and see, first of all, if it was 50 cents, and see if there was a three-minute limit or if there was an unlimited limit.
But what did we find out?
We found out, we thought we found out, that you put in a quarter, right? You put in one quarter?
I put in one quarter.
And you weren't asked to leave the phone.
Right.
So we thought that meant that there are phones out there that cost a quarter right now that are unlimited. Now, we could have just left it at that, but when we went out to investigate the phone later, we discovered something. And remember, that phone had horrible sound to it. It had a big hum. Apparently, there was something really wrong with that phone where it would let you make free phone calls without putting a quarter in at all. So we realized that the experiment was kind of tainted because you had, in fact, put in a quarter to a phone that didn't need it. And you could have made that phone call without putting in anything.
There's a lot of strange things about that phone.
Yeah, there were quite a few strange things. We experimented with it for a good half hour after the show and discovered it had all kinds of weird capabilities. But it's disconnected now. Somebody ratted us out. And so we can't use that phone. But we're going to send you outside again redo the experiment. Well, we have to.
It's cold out there.
I know it's cold out there. Look, I'm not in charge of the weather. I'm sorry. So if you go out there again.
I'm not staying out there the entire show.
Well, this is what we're going to do. There's a three-minute limit. There's a three-minute limit on the old phones, anyway.
Right.
So go out there, see if it's a quarter, see if it's 50 cents, make a phone call to us, and we'll see if it cuts you off after 3 minutes. And if it does, then we'll hear that noise for the last time, probably.
Okay.
And if it doesn't, then we'll know that out there are phones that are cut over.
So is this my cue?
Yeah, be on your way.
Okay.
Sure you bring the special number with you.
Yeah, I have the special number.
Okay.
Make sure it's a Verizon phone.
Yeah, make sure it's a Verizon phone. There is a bank that's closer to the station, actually, where there are phones. And let's read a couple of pieces of listener email. Hey, I'm a long-term reader / listener and supporter, but two things came up in this broadcast that sort of bugged me, one minor, one major. First, the minor one. No U.S. security or military force uses an Uzi machine gun, to my knowledge, outside of the movies. It's primarily used by Israeli forces. Perhaps the weapon you saw was a Mach 10 or even a good old-fashioned M16. Now, you know, I gotta say right here, I'm a bit disturbed. Maybe, Mike, you might understand this. People seem to know way too much about guns and weapons and airplanes. I mean, you know, it's a good hobby to have. But I just noticed that people around, in general, I've noticed this since grade school, they don't know how to find states on a map. They can't find states within their own country. But you point out an airplane or a gun or something like that, and they know everything about it. Not only, you know, what kind of gun it is, but, you know, how many rounds per minute it gets and, you know, what it's capable of doing. And again, you know, it's fun to have interest, but they just seem to, you know, to mean way too much. Do you get that?
I don't understand. Tom Whisker understands.
Well, Tom Whisker should understand because he does a program about weaponry. It's a great show, and I listen to it a lot. And it's on tonight at 1 o'clock, right after the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Is it 1 o'clock or 1:30? It's around that area. So, okay, yeah, 1:30. That's, you know, and that's something. But I just think too many people get obsessed with it. And, you know, people equate computers and guns. I don't get that either because computers are, you know, there's all kinds of things. You can shape them to do all kinds of different things. I haven't seen people shape artillery to do very many things.
There's the occasional art project that involves melting guns.
Okay, that's something. That's one thing. But I just, you know, pay attention to the things that really matter, you know, like knowledge, learning, moving ahead, and history, too, because, you know, how else do you repeat the same mistakes? Okay, but anyway, yeah, okay, that person is probably right. I spoke out of ignorance. It wasn't an Uzi that the National Guard guy was holding. I wasn't trying to be accurate with the kind of weapon he had. I was just saying he had a machine gun, you know, and that's what was scary. I think that's what we were talking about. Okay, second, while I sometimes, not always, but sometimes agree with the views of protesters, putting protesters in quotes, I don't know why, I see the activity at this point as useless. In the general public view, if you're peaceful, no one pays any attention. If you're violent, you're dismissed as crazy and violent. It's a complete waste of the protesters' time. Give it up and come up with something else. This worked in the 60s, but it doesn't work anymore.
I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah, you know, I sense this a lot. I get this a lot from people saying that, you know, protesting worked in the... Well, why did protesting work in the 60s? It worked because people were paying attention, because people were educated, because people had something to say. And I think that's the number one rule of any protesters, to know what it is they're talking about and to be able to communicate to people who aren't protesting. And if it's an issue that matters, then, yeah, it's going to make a difference. I mean, what this guy is saying, and I don't want to put this person down at all because he did take the time to write to us, and these are valid points. But what this person is saying is what they want him to say. The people in the establishment, people in charge, the people who don't want the masses to be protesting anything, they're very, very happy. They're very happy when people say protesting doesn't do any good. You know, and that's, I just don't think that's a very good way to approach things. I think we have Autojack on the phone. Autojack, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, you have a really good quality phone today.
What, bad quality?
You're kind of muffled a little bit, but no, you're fine.
Okay, at least there's no hum.
All right, so let's start the timer here. All right, so you're at a Verizon phone right now.
Yes, it is a Verizon phone.
And how much did you put in?
I put in 25 cents.
You put in 25 cents. Okay, so that phone has not been cut over yet.
Right.
And so what we're going to do now is keep the timer going and see if after 3 minutes they cut you off. We'll keep you out there for 6 minutes, all right?
Okay.
Just to make absolutely sure. We're reading some listener mail right now, and we're coming to the end of it. Is there anything else that you want to say about the important? I mean, talk to people who have never protested before.
All right, he's right in a certain sense that there have been a lot of protests, and some more effective than others. But it is oftentimes an effective way to get the attention of the people in power and to force them to change things. And there are other ways. Maybe this person should get involved and offer his wisdom and suggestions.
Well, you have to believe in what you're protesting against.
Of course.
Yeah.
I protest for.
You know what I mean?
Thing.
Yeah. The World Economic Forum was the most recent example here in New York City. I think that was a fantastic success with over 10,000 people.
The forum or the protest?
The protest. Well, they'll probably say the forum was too. Mm. But the people showed up here, over 10,000 of them, peacefully protested. Yeah, one nincompoop smashed a window someplace. Of course, that makes it onto the news every place. It tells you where they're coming from. They just want to show something bad happening. And if you can have over 10,000 people come here and have only one window break, that's pretty good for any crowd of people.
Did you know, Emmanuel, that about a third of a million people in Barcelona, Spain, protested the EU this week?
I saw that. 300,000. Try telling 300,000 people in Barcelona that protesting doesn't do any good. Of course it does good. You get your point across, and if you do it intelligently, you know, you'll actually have something happen as a result. Case in point, when we protested against the making of the Kevin Mitnick film, not the one we made, but the one that Miramax was making, it had an effect. We only had 2 dozen people out there, but they paid attention. They took our concerns seriously, and to their credit, they changed some things in the film. Not enough things to suit me, but they changed a lot of things. And it does matter. If you reach the right people, and if your protest is phrased in a somewhat intelligent way, people will listen. Anyway, finish this letter. That was all that I really needed and wanted to say besides the fact I sincerely hope you guys keep up the amazing work that you all do, and if there is any way a humble man such as yourself can aid you, please don't hesitate to ask. Signed, Adam. Adam, thanks for bringing up the points, because they do need to be discussed, and I appreciate the writing. Artojack, are you still there?
Yes. Has it been 6 minutes yet?
No, it's been only 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay. It's really windy.
Is it windy? That's good. That way the phone will definitely, cold weather is better for that kind of equipment.
Right.
All right. Let's read some other... we'll read the letters about the payphones. That way you'll feel a part of things. How's that?
Okay.
All right. The central of the United States, Wisconsin payphone prices went from the easy 35 cents to 50 cents since about the summer of 2000. I was outraged. Even the high school payphones are 50 cents. I just think it's BS when cell phones can be cheaper. Too bad it's illegal to make free phone calls. Well, it's not really illegal. I mean, what AT&T is doing, that's kind of free, although you do pay $19.95. But, I guess free overtime is what we're going into right now. Yes, Jim?
I have a suggestion for people who are aggravated by the increase in prices. And it's not exactly advocating free phone calls or anything, but it's worth a try. The largest coin, let's rephrase that. For its size, the coin that's the largest size for the smallest amount is the nickel. And nickels work in payphones. 10 of them will get you a 50-cent call. You plug up the phone with nickels. Some phones in the old days, I know this for a fact, used to you would fill it with nickels, and the nickel at the top would essentially complete the circuit. And at that point, every coin thereon would simply go through to the reject cup, and you could make free phone calls. I suggest we try that. You know, from now on, if you make a call to a payphone, try to use nickels.
I could have used nickels down here,
but you didn't. You put a quarter in.
But right, the idea is that you use nickels, and hopefully in the future, somebody else will be able to make a free phone call for it, or vice versa. Other people will use nickels, and you will benefit from this.
Maybe that's what happened to the other phone.
Hmm?
Maybe that's what happened to the other phone.
Yeah, maybe.
Interesting thought.
I think that other phone got confused somehow. But let's continue with these letters. I just thought I'd point out that I noticed at the last 2600 meeting at Citigroup, one of the two pay phones in the food court had a 35-cent label on it, while the one next to it had a 25-cent label. I used the 35-cent one with the quarter. Well, the weird thing is, I think I know what that was all about. The rates were 35 cents and 25 cents in many places, so they would flip the little plastic things over. And probably what happened was some wiseacre at the 2600 meeting figured out how to flip it and put the wrong rate on there. And New Jersey was 35 cents for a while, as well as many other places. And here's an explanation as to why this is from our good friend Danny B. Verizon Communications raised the price of a local payphone call to 50 cents, up from 35 cents. There were no public hearings since they're now unregulated and competitive. Bell Atlantic a few years ago signed off on an agreement with the New York State Public Service Commission to hold the payphone rate to 25 cents for a certain amount of years. Verizon couldn't raise them in New York State so easily, but when that expired, they were able to do as they pleased. Also, Verizon payphones are all COCOT type rather than CO-based. FCC regulations required the ILECs, which is what they call those companies, to provide the same CO control to competitors that they themselves were using. They decided to drop it completely. Regarding the 5 minutes, in the late 1980s or early 1990s, NYMEX made a trade-off. All coin calls in New York City would be the same 25 cents instead of some being more. But the initial drop-down went to 3 minutes. Remember, it was 5 minutes. I was mistaken about that last week. And finally, there was an official complaint filed by someone about the payphones not giving change, or at least more time for overtime when you put in a quarter instead of a nickel. He lost. And by the way, many COCOTs do, in fact, measure the money you put in and adjust accordingly.
Something's happening here.
What is that noise?
They're driving a truck, like, right onto the sidewalk where the phone is.
I guess this is the new method of getting overtime,
right?
Actually going to you and getting it. Is it a Verizon truck? Or
no, it's not a Verizon truck. It's I'm not sure what it is. It's got some kind of it's a garbage truck or something.
Okay. Well, the important thing is you haven't been asked for any. It's been 7 minutes now, and you have not been asked for any additional money. Is
that's
that correct?
True, yeah.
All right. I'd like to do an experiment before we send you back in here.
Okay.
You haven't heard your coin actually leave.
I don't know.
Okay. What I'd like you to do is put another quarter in.
Put another quarter in.
And well, the reason I'm doing this, the reason I'm asking this, I want to see if it makes the red box tones, and I also want to see if you get that quarter back and
do
not the other one.
Do you think you'll be able to hear the red box tones over this truck?
Well, I have in the past.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
see,
are
let's
you
give
ready?
A shot. Go right ahead.
Should I give a countdown or anything?
Just 3, 2, 1 will be fine.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Did you hear that?
I think we picked something up, yes.
I heard something.
Those were red box tones. No question about it. Okay, well, now hang up the phone, see what money comes out, and run like the wind back into the studio.
Okay.
And thank you for your hard work here.
Yes, okay, I'll be back.
All right. All right, and that's the sound of the phone hanging up downstairs on Wall Street. This is all coming to you very live here at WBAI. And we're going to take phone calls, 212-209-2900. Someone else wanted us to repost the URL for BBC World as well, which I don't have with me, but I can tell the person, if you just listened to last week's show, since I said it there, and obviously you have internet access, the shows are archived, www.2600.com/offthehook. Then you'll hear me say it then, too. So even though you missed it the first time, you can catch it the next time. What else? Okay, we read that one already. Here's a mystery. Maybe we can help this person figure out the mystery. Mm. I'm a resident of Salem, Oregon. That's no mystery, but the mystery is this. Recently, I had a strange run-in with what I believe was ESS, electronic switching. My friend and I were on the phone, and my friend attempted to make a three-way call. The three-way call didn't work at my friend's end. What happened to me in the meantime was quite interesting. I heard some clicks and was presented with a titleless phone menu. The options were something to the effect of press 1, start a new recording. Press 2, play back current recording. Press 3, erase and start new recording. Press 4, continue recording. Being a cautious individual, I pressed 2 and heard the last half of my own conversation up to the attempted three-way call. After that, I was sent back to the menu where I chose the 3 option and hung up. I then attempted to call my friend back, but when I picked up the phone, he was already there. according to my friend, the phone rang at his end, and he picked up. Remember, I didn't get to actually dialing the number, and the phone on my end was on the hook long enough to reset the three-way call. Any comments and or advice would be greatly appreciated. Signed, Jack the Ripper, and welcome back, Auto Jack. That to me sounds kind of wacky. His friend was the one making the three-way call. I mean, obviously they got tied into a voicemail system somehow. So he could not. He said the phone at my end was on the hook long enough to reset the three-way call. So that meant when he hung up, the three-way call on his friend's end should have been reset. But that does not explain how the voicemail recording got there. I would say the person probably dialed the wrong number and connected him to a voicemail system. That's the only thing I can think of.
There's a flaw with that argument.
What's the flaw?
The flaw is that they're on the phone with each other, and the friend says, let's make it a three-way call.
And you hear
call.
The conversation up until then.
You hear the conversation. Exactly. You hear the conversation before he dials another number.
Yeah, I was hoping to sort of not focus on that, because that doesn't make sense. You're right. But maybe, you know, either they got that wrong or...
Possibly.
Or somebody's up to some hanky-panky and recording another phone conversation on the line. Because obviously the person was three-way to it. Obviously the person was able to control it. So it wasn't something that was, you know... external. I don't know. It's kind of weird, but it does sound exactly like a voicemail recording of some sort. Somebody three-wayed him into a voicemail recording. Since somebody was playing with three-way, I would guess it was the person who was trying to make a three-way call. Maybe the person made a three-way call beforehand without realizing it, and then tried to make a three-way call again, which should have disconnected it, but maybe it didn't for some reason.
That's possible. You also have the possibility of crossed wires to another nearby line where somebody else is calling into a voicemail
system.
That
could be, too. Maybe he has four-way. That's also possible. All right. Let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. We only have a few minutes. Yes.
Are you interested to find out what the phone is?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. What happened?
Okay, Mike. What do I have in my hand?
You have two quarters.
You have two quarters.
Ah,
you're not Mike.
I'm sorry. We gotta move along. We don't have time for the
phone gave me back two quarters.
So it's not taking quarters at all.
Right.
We should try another phone later.
All right. We're gonna go on.
Yeah. Well past the point when there are any.
Oh, speaking of going around the city, look what I found on probably one of the best websites in the world called nycsubway.org, where they have pictures of old subway trains and all kinds of historical maps and things like that. A picture of an evil L train. That's right. The L trains are now turning into evil trains. You know about this, Jim?
Yeah.
You know about that?
You
kept quiet about it.
Well, I figured that you know, when the end of the world comes, I'll tell you. But when it works up to that, I won't.
Well, we're going to go out hunting for an evil L later.
No.
Yeah. Yes, we are. We have to.
It's
very important.
Who
good evening.
The holy water.
You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, or
how you
whatever.
Doing?
Listen, I just want to let you know that Gary Noel doesn't care whether the phone company tells you it's 209.
All right, enough of this. For God's sake. First of all, I don't want to talk about other radio hosts. Second of all, I don't care if you say 209 or 209. I mean, for God's sake, this guy really thinks that's an important issue. He calls all the radio shows and talks about this all the time.
Do you think Rebel's still
whichever one you don't like me to say is the one I'm going to start saying. So just keep talking about it. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hey.
You got to speak faster. Good evening. You're on the air. See, I already hit the button. Oh, boy. Good evening. You're on the air. Again, got to speak faster. Come on, we're running out of time here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Hi. I listened with delight to your ripping into Amazon.com because a couple months back, the same thing happened to me.
Really?
And, well, I mean, I needed to talk to them, and they disappeared their phone numbers from the website, and
it
got me furious. And I thought I'd read you a letter I wrote to them. It's very quick, unless you don't want me to.
Well, just give us the gist of it, because we really don't have very much time. What happened in the end?
I just really tried to let them have it, and it was the second email I wrote, and I finally got a response saying, "We pride ourselves in convenience and efficiency, and I'm truly sorry your impression of doing business with Amazon.com has been so negative. Below are the phone numbers you requested." But it took me a couple of days to get that.
You don't have those? Do you have those phone numbers with you?
Yes, I do.
Well, why don't you tell the whole world? Let's hear them.
Okay. U.S. and Canada, 1-800-201-7575.
Okay.
And then there's an international number. I don't know if you want that.
Go ahead.
1-206-266-2992.
Okay.
And even a fax number. But I did try to tell the customer service person who I talked to that it was really bad business to make it impossible for customers, even of an online, you know, service like Amazon, not to be able to reach somebody by telephone.
Mm-hmm.
We still do like to use telephones.
Yeah, and that's the best way to reach somebody, you know.
Yeah, when you want something, you want to talk to a live person. And anyway.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Thanks for the information.
All
yes,
right.
Jim.
Bye.
I think every listener should really call that 800 number and tell them to put the 800 number back on the website.
Or we'll put it on all the other websites in the world.
That's a good idea.
Or, you know, it doesn't have to be an 800 number. I was perfectly happy to call, you know, a regular phone number. No problem.
206 Seattle.
As long as it's not a 900 number, you know. I just take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
This is Tom from New Jersey.
How you doing, Tom?
Good. Great. Thanks for that Amazon.com phone number.
Oh, thank our listener for that. That's, yeah. It's
right. The other thing is about is telephone related also. I was using one of these services where you punch in the number and then make your call, like 1010636 or whatever, about a year ago. And they were originally something like 6 cents a minute. And then while I was, in the middle of the month sometime, they switched it to 25 cents a minute.
Oh, how nice.
Without informing anybody, of course.
What company was this again?
I'm afraid I don't remember, but uh-huh. I just wonder how much money they made off of that.
Probably quite a bit. Probably more than they got sued for.
The other thing is, I'm here in New Jersey. When we try to call into New York after, say, 6 minutes or 5 minutes waiting, they cut you off. They say, I'm sorry, your party is not answering. Any insight on how to get them to stop doing that? Because it handicaps us from calling WBA.
Yeah, I realize that, and that's something that's been upsetting us for quite some time. Basically, what happens is people that don't call from inside the local area, the ring times out, and they say, your party is not answering. There really is no solution I know of other than to call from a local area or maybe try using a different phone company, a different long-distance company. There might be a couple that are more tolerant. Other than that, though, I don't really have a solution because we don't have control over the network.
Okay. Thanks, Emmanuel.
All
thanks
right.
for all your good work.
Thanks.
Report that Sprint cell phone.
Sorry,
cut you off.
So say that.
Sprint cell phones cut you off after 1 minute.
They cut you off after 1 minute when what?
When you're trying to ring someone.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
They cut you off. What do you mean they cut you off? They
say you the same thing, except after only 1 minute instead of five.
Really? I'll have to try that. Hmm. Well, in any event, we're out of time, unfortunately. We had a lot to talk about tonight, and we'll have more to talk about next week as well. So I want to thank everybody for Jack, you're turning blue. Are you?
Am I turning blue?
It was cold outside, I guess, right?
Yeah,
you should have brought a jacket. Why didn't you bring a jacket? You're wearing a short sleeve shirt and everything. Oh, man.
I'll bring my bathing suit next time.
Well, I mean, I just think it's, you know, this is New York. You gotta dress appropriately. All right. Well, we'll keep you indoors next time.
Right.
All right. That's the wrong song, you know? I don't know why. This is what happens when they mislabel CDs. Hang on. I'm going to get this right because it's just so annoying when the wrong CD plays. I think this is the right one. No, that's wrong, too.
I think you're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try one more thing, though. And then, yeah, you're right, I will live with it after that. Hang on. The program's off the hook where technical things work just unbelievably. Okay, you know what? We're just going to leave it with this. See you next week. Breaking the sun.
is Jeffrey Wright.
This is Mos Def.
You're listening to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI.
New York, New York, 99.5 FM.
My woman says, shine your light over the world. Shine your light over the world.